are Vic Fellowship, and Vic stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to commercial-free truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on PRN.FM or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Our guest today is the one and only Ingrid Castle. Hello, Miss Ingrid.
Hi, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you good. And just to let everybody know, my soul sister's website is vaclib.org. Vaclib.org. She's the guru and my mentor, and we're just honored to have you again, Ingrid.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. We've been in this movement pretty long together. I mean, it's been 20 years, has it?
Yeah, I'd say about coming up on that. But even
right?
Before that, I know I want to kind of go over with them, if you don't mind, just what I mentioned to you before we called of something I wasn't even aware you weren't aware of. But this is pretty divine as well. Whenever you're ready for me to share it, I think now would be a good time. Way before Ingrid and I ever even physically met, when I was first on my journey from Casey's injury, she was born in 97 or 95, excuse me, and 97 is when I realized that something else was wrong with her, because all the doctors were giving me a bill of health, of course, and I started praying and looking and researching myself. And my mother actually sent me an article. This is the very first article I ever was introduced to about the truth about vaccinations, the dangers of vaccinations. It was an article titled The Hour of Time. And it was probably a good 10 to 20 page article. I don't remember exactly. All I remember is after reading about two or three pages, I'm like, let me just go to Barnes & Noble and buy the darn book he keeps referring to. Because he kept referring to this book by some guy named Wallene James. And he gave the name of the book and everything. And this is when I'm just as completely as ignorant as the masses out there. And I went to Barnes & Noble and I said, I need the book titled whatever. And the lady behind the desk said, ma'am, there's no book titled that. And I'm like, well, how about the author, the guy Wallene James? And she said, ma'am, there's no author by that name. So I go back and I finish reading the article, and the last paragraph says, don't bother going to Barnes & Noble because these are underground books and you won't find it.
Wow. And Wallene James, then you found out Wallene James was a woman, and she was supposed to be a boy. She was the firstborn, and she was supposed to be Walter Jr.
Wow.
And Walter Jr. Did not appear. A girl was born, and so Wallene ended up being, she was actually born, she didn't like, her first name was Mary. She did not like Mary. It was Mary Wallene James, and so Wallene, she took her middle name, which was supposed to be feminine for Walter.
Oh, boy.
So that's the rest of that story. And Wallene is my mother.
And it's her mother, guys. Can you believe it? And we've been working together 20 years. She was one of my scientific advisors for the Autism Autoimmunity Project. Hello.
So this is amazing. I had no idea of that piece, because the book is Immunization, The Reality Behind the Myth. It went through a second printing in 1994. And when it first came out, my daughter was quite young at the time, and I think it was the first time I actually left her alone with her dad. And she was still 3 or 4. She was born in 1985, let's see, and it was 1988, 89. We did a tour when she was like three, four. I'd weaned her by that time, and we went through all the Inland Northwest to different cities to do a lecture and promote immunization, the reality behind the myth. And then in 1994, she did a revised, updated edition. And that's, it's a pretty foundational book. So anyway, and the basis of that book, believe it or not, was a court case. Mm. Just so you know, my sister was taken to court in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and that's in chapters 9, I think, you know. I was right there. I had just graduated from college, and my sister's son had kept hitting himself on the corner of this black walnut coffee table and busting open his head, you know, just toddling around. And so after the second time where it just wasn't healing as rapidly as it should, my sister went to the emergency room just to get stitches. And they asked if he was up to date on his vaccinations. And she says, oh, heavens, no, we don't do that. My sister wasn't coached, I guess, in the way things were going. So she didn't lie. She just said, yeah, we don't do any of that. And that triggered social services, or child protective services, rather. And they sent a social worker out to the house. My sister at the time was going through a divorce, was separated, and was living with our parents, Paul and Wallene James. And so what happened next is that this social worker, you know, with CPS, was very, very vicious. I mean, serious. He was determined to grab custody of her son, William Isaac Turner. So Isaac, we called him by his middle name too, Isaac. And naturally, he was the firstborn grandchild to my mother. And oh my gosh, she was going to do everything to make sure that he didn't go to foster care. So she did lots of, she assembled all kinds of exhibits of why vaccines were harmful, and it was a sound choice to make not to inject these poisonous substances into newborns and toddlers. Mm. And she made a pretty sound case, and we grabbed Tom Finn. Tom Finn was an attorney in Georgia, and he was alerted by the National Health Federation of our plight. And he said he would take the case pro bono. We just had to put him up in a hotel and pay per diem. Mm. And we didn't have a lot of money, but we were able to figure that one out somehow. And he represented us. And Wallene brought all the exhibits. And when the judge looked through all of it, he says, well, I was vaccinated and my children were vaccinated, but after looking at all this material, well, let's just do what we can to satisfy the law. Awesome. And it was kind of like a religious exemption. They had that in the state. It was a religious exemption, but it was, we had a doctor also, because we failed on the religious exemption, which is why we brought Tom Finn. They didn't think we had strong enough religious convictions. My sister immediately joined a Christian Science church, because Christian scientists were the ones who pioneered the religious exemptions in 48 states throughout the country. And she was not a long-term member in good standing, so they rejected her plea for a religious exemption, because they made it like she had to join a church. We know that that's not true, but that's the way most states would interpret a religious exemption, that you have to belong to a 501c3 or state-sanctioned church. Mm-hmm. And I know Renee is all against that, and I'm actually all against any church that becomes a government-controlled church. Mm-hmm. So, but Christian Scientists were considered a 501c3 church, so she failed, and that's where we had to bring in the lawyer, because at that point, all we could do was a medical exemption. Mm. And a medical exemption on a perfectly healthy child was not going to happen easily. So we brought in our doctor, our family doctor, and he was well-versed in, I don't know if people know what the Edgar Cayce Foundation is, but it's now called the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And that was in Virginia Beach, and he was a member, and my parents were members. And so part of what Edgar Cayce said, that anything that violates the will of the parents would be violating the will of the child and would be harmful. So he pretty much went on that angle, and the judge just kind of conceded based on the evidence. Wow. And believe me, the social worker was furious. I mean, it was a very narrow win, and it was talked about in the papers. They were not happy with the judge. They threatened the license of our general practitioner doctor. So in the book, we use a pseudonym because he got out of general practice. Wouldn't take families, and he specialized in something else. But anyhow, they threatened his license over giving a medical exemption to a perfectly healthy child.
Insane. Even with my own son, because my daughter, of course, was my victim, my first child, and my son Corey was 20 months younger, and I didn't vaccinate him. He did get the aluminum, of course, and the vitamin K shot, because I didn't know back then that was a vaccine too, or had the poison in it. But anyway, he literally, it's amazing how we were able to, because of Casey's, inevitable death because of the monkey viruses and the vaccinations and her injury being labeled autistic, we were able to get a medical exemption, both religious and medical, for him. And it was because we had a friend that was able, had the ability to give us a medical exemption, is the only reason. But like Ingrid said, these doctors that vouch for us, they're jeopardizing their license, by giving these medical exemptions. And then now, that's the main reason I wanted to do the show with you, because I know you stay on top of stuff. We're getting tons of emails, Ingrid, about all these states, following California and trying to take away and mandate these vaccines. So I kind of wanted to cover that today and make sure the audience is aware of what the powers that be are actually, their agenda is for healthy 2020 next year.
Right. Or, yeah. Healthy people. 2020, yeah. They want everyone vaccinated. They're moving on adults.
And that means adults.
In some countries, we're talking about tying vaccine status into your driver's license, into your social security, into your disability, all of that. Veterans benefits, on and on. So that's part of the whole agenda, and they've been rolling out slowly. I know in Argentina, they were tying it into driver's licenses, and nobody could get a driver's license without having a complete vaccine record. It's gotten really ugly, actually, worldwide. Mm-hmm. And the more they push, the more injury there is. And right now, the movement, sadly enough, is built upon the vaccine injured. Is, rather than, just a fundamental human right to own your own body. So the vaccine injured are coming forward saying what we've been saying all along, and they've been joining us in the cause to have that basic fundamental right to keep your children from harm. As we know, it's a violation of the Nuremberg Code. It's a violation of the medical agreement at Helsinki. It's signed by hundreds of doctors. But these are agreements. They're not treaties, and treaties do not have the full force and effect of law. I mean, treaties do, I'm sorry, but agreements don't. That's what I meant to say. Anyway, so even though the Department of Health and Human Services in this country has on their website these agreements, and you can cite them, I did use those documents with the links on the Health and Human Services site to justify an appeal with immigration. This woman did prevail in appealing her case. She really messed up the whole case. Didn't consult with me until after she failed, and I put a lot of energy into that appeal. But at that time, anyway, that's a whole other story. I'm just saying it's difficult. You can still get into this country on a religious exemption, and there's ways of doing it. It's now like $935 just for the application.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you don't do it right, you can lose $935 and suffer the barrage of injections if you're determined to get into this country, or you can just not get into this country. So that's still ongoing. But yeah, it's actually ugly everywhere. There's a huge exodus from New York and California, and I have not responded to this appeal that Gary sent out yesterday morning, and I didn't see it until the afternoon. And then I decided, you know, I need to look at the documents that she sent, the subpoena, you know. And it basically, it's a woman who had conceded to all these vaccines once she lost the religious exemption, right? So she lost her, they lost the religious exemption in New York. The only exemption is medical. She couldn't find a doctor that would do the medical exemption, which is pretty tough to find in New York because they scrutinize those intensely, just like they are in California. So she went to an NMD and ND. It's basically a naturopathic medical doctor who will do the shots, but does a detox protocol afterwards, like right afterwards. So he documents that the shots were given. But anyhow, she was literally flying to Arizona to get this done. Then they pulled some number of bureaucratic mumbo-jumbo, even though there's nothing in New York law that says that you have to have the shots administered by a New York licensed physician. Nothing about that. Just, you know, it has to be a license in one of these things, but it doesn't say it has to be licensed in that state. So, but they're, you know, they're constantly pulling fast ones that aren't legal. And then, and it's like a Gestapo. It's like a police craziness.
Yeah, the email that I received from Vaccine Impact today, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that, but they proposed a bill for the 1st of January that will mandate the Gardasil, the HPV vaccine, as a requirement for both public and private schools, including daycare. So they're trying to force the Gardasil.
Not daycare. It can't be daycare because they're too young. Well, so it would bill, be private and public school.
Well, the bill, I'm just telling you what the, I'm looking at the email that was sent out by Vaccine Impact, and it says, okay, the new bill in New York would mandate HPV Gardasil vaccine as a requirement for school attendance, both private and public, including daycare. Parents who no longer can enroll their children in schools, whether public or private, due to the loss of religious and medical exemptions to vaccines, are apparently turning to homeschool education as their only option left to educate their children. But a lawmaker actually is saying it's included.
They made a mistake because HPV is not given to anyone younger than 9, and daycares generally aren't.
But aren't they even promoting it for pregnant women? Someone said to me. Somebody told me that in vitro they're trying to promote pregnant women to get the vaccination.
HPV?
Yeah.
No, I actually haven't heard that. I know that they're doing the DPT for the pertussis portion.
And the flu.
They're encouraging that and a flu. Those are the two that they were pushing on pregnant women, and they've never been tested in pregnant women.
Right. But I have sufficiently.
Although there are studies done of the incredible harm, because I remember reading, it was 15 years ago, it was an excellent article in the Journal of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, you know, Jane Orient's organization. And it was a detailed study of these vaccines administered in pregnant women and what it was doing to the fetus. And it was absolutely horrifying. And yet it was a precursor to them actually encouraging them to be given to pregnant women in spite of the FDA never approving it for use in pregnant women, and it's not on the package inserts that they ever were tested officially by on pregnant women.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, even this HPV, the Gardasil being given to pregnant women, that I've heard from a couple different people that they're promoting. I mean, nothing surprises me anymore, Ingrid. The agenda of these, you know, drug companies and or families, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, the ones that own the drug companies, is to, you know, poison our babies, not only within 3 hours of birth with a hepatitis B that's no risk to them at all, unless they're, you know, have hepatitis, or that, not even then, but anyway, but then also now in vitro. I mean, it's just insane what they're doing to, you know, our pregnant women before, I mean, it's like they're trying to kill the babies before they even come out. It's unbelievable what people are allowing these drug companies to do. And that leads me into the next email that I've dissected, which is in Florida. And anyone interested in this, I encourage them to go to parentalrights.org. They sent me a text this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. And there, I'm going to read a little bit of it, if you don't mind. There are two legal...
Good. Yeah. Please.
Yeah, there are two legal ways to homeschool in Florida. The first is enrolling through the local school district, and the second is enrolling through a private umbrella school. And this is how they're going to get away with it. They're going to put it under the private umbrella school, which is going to negate, is going to take away all the exemptions. I mean, it's just crazy what they're doing. I mean, they're totally trying to include homeschoolers. A bill being introduced that could be extremely troubling for the second way that we homeschool, which is what they're saying. Please contact your homeschooling friends throughout the state and ask them to contact their legislators to oppose the bill. This is the only one example of a disturbing trend of bills that legislators have filed here in Florida in the last couple of years. Bills have been introduced where would negatively impact parental rights, homeschooling, and religious rights. I urge you to pray. I also ask you to become an informed and willing to engage these issues on behalf of your family and families here in Florida. Engaging in these issues now is worth it for the sake of our children and the rights of future generations. If you'd like to know more about the urgent need to stand on behalf of parental rights in Florida, again, their website is parentalrights.org, and they do have a Facebook page as well, Parental Rights Florida. So definitely.
Yeah. They're an excellent group.
Yeah, and we've got to step up. We're going to have them on the show, actually, next week, I'm hoping, or definitely within the next couple of weeks, yeah. So, you know, it's just time for everybody to really stand up and stop just putting their head in the sand like nothing's going on. I mean, it's crazy what these drug companies are getting away with one state at a time.
Well, this is, you know, my former radio partner was Al Whitney, and she put a booklet together, Lawfully Yours, and she put all kinds of notices in there, and the vaccination notice is still valid, but we have a friend who used to work for Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and she had registered her child for school, but she decided she did not want him registered at all. I think she was homeschooling, and she knew that they were going to start, you know, pulling some numbers on her, so she basically wrote a letter unregistering him, and that they, you know, and that's what people are going to have to do. You want to reduce the contracts you have at the state level. I mean, you know, even Sally L. Cordy, she says, you know, if you're pregnant, don't tell anyone, don't go to the doctor, don't go to the hospital, don't go to the midwife. Get books on how to do it yourself and figure it out, you know, and have your baby all by yourself without any strings attached, no contracts with the state, because it's the contracts with the state that give them the authority to step in and act, under the auspices of being the child's parents, you know, that they actually have the legal and moral authority to have parental rights. So that's a huge thing, actually, is that we're under contract laws. Courts are equity courts. So, you know, people need to get a little legally savvy and be able to operate aside from these contracts, because they just see you as another corporate piece of paper with the contracts you have with the state, whether it's a driver's license, a marriage certificate, or, a birth certificate. So I just know that the more you can, you know, reduce these number of contracts, the safer your child's going to be. You know, there was a whole case in Texas. This is pretty interesting. It was, the Mormons tend to be polygamous, and I think they had this big community on the border of, like, Utah and Texas, or Colorado and Texas. Anyway, it was way up in North Texas, and there were quite a few children, and the state went in there. They weren't vaccinating, of course, and the state went in there and was taking custody of all the kids. It was a huge case. And very shortly after that, they realized they didn't have the authority, and they returned all the kids because none of the children had birth certificates.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just saying, they literally don't have the authority. You need to call them out on it. But as long as you have some of these contracts, then you need to know how to rescind those contracts. I mean, there's a point where we're not going to have a country unless we protect the children coming in. And, you know, these are, you know, amazing children. The ones that aren't vaccinated, you can tell they have a spark of the divine in their eyes. They establish good eye contact. They're absolutely brilliant. They're spiritually aware. Their pituitary and pineal glands aren't calcified or screwed up, so they have a direct connection to their creator, where they, you know, they're tuned in. They're tuned into the spiritual side of things, and that's really, really important. And that's what the deep state or the New World Order wants stomped out right away, because the hope of our world is always going to be in the next generation. And so, you know, that's why we need to do everything we can in our power to protect these children. And if it means, you know, moving out of state, it means moving out of state. I keep telling grandparents that they need to come forward and be helping their grandchildren. And if they don't, if they're in that generation and they never had any children and they don't have any grandkids, then that's probably their mission then, to step forward and help be a mentor to another family. You know, because it's pretty difficult to live today, you know, with a one parent paycheck and be able to stay home and homeschool. I mean, you know, I'm excessively frugal, but I'm today that would be really tough. You know, the increase in property taxes, the increase in this, that, and the other, you know, the price of food. And yeah, we can have our own gardens, so it's just a blessing up here, you know. You know, it's not easy for a lot of people. It's very, very difficult. So I'm always encouraging people to, you know, find their purpose later in life, and it may be mentoring to some of these families to protect their children.
Yeah, and like you said, homeschooling is the only way out, but even that is under the gun right now, because I guess so many people now are waking up through years of, I'm sure many, but totally us included, Ingrid, you especially.
Yes. Well, I lasted for 1 year. My daughter just rebelled on the whole homeschooling thing. She was a singleton, you know, so even though we had a network of other families and I was working, she really wanted to socialize with some of the mainstream kids. And so I was fortunate that, you know, she did have some positive school experiences. But yeah, I think it's tough for all of us, you know, these days, you know, just raising our kids in a world with this level of propaganda. You know, you're wanting to get along with your peers and they're pretty well brainwashed, you know.
Misinformed to the max. And back to the home birthing and you know, natural childbirth, I did have my last one at home, Faith. And I mean, people don't realize how our bodies are made to have babies. It was the most beautiful birth I ever had. No complications whatsoever. But they did give her a vitamin K shot that I wish I wouldn't have did. Or not a vitamin K. They gave her the PKU. They pricked the heel because it was a midwife.
They pricked the heel. Right.
But even that is a database of their blood, I found out. So even that I made a mistake letting them do to her, you know?
That's a whole that PKU, you know, because that's you know, I think it was in 2006, George W. Bush or Jr., whatever, he signed in the Newborn Screening Act, and that is the thing, is to get a DNA on every man, woman, and child in this country. And this is one of the reasons they push the TB Tyne test so hard, because the only other option than putting carbolic acid under your skin, which, you know, in my old nursing manual, it says phenol, which is carbolic acid, is so toxic that if you get any on top of your skin, you need to have emergency, you know, go to the poison control and have emergency treatment. This is just a little fraction of carbolic acid, and yet that is one of the ingredients in a TB Tyne test. This stuff is toxic. This is just a test. I had a nurse take my herbal class when we first moved to North Idaho from Moses Lake, Washington. Anyhow, she was a nurse, and she told me her arm doubled up in size for 2 weeks after a TB Tyne test, and she did not have tuberculosis. It was an allergic reaction to the toxicity in the test itself. So a lot of people don't want that in their system. I mean, we already have enough poisons in the air, food, and water, you know? We don't need to add something right into our...
Did you say this acid was in the PKU shot or in the TB test?
I'm saying the TB Tyne test. I'm just telling. I went from the PKU. Gotcha. I went from that. The newborn. I tend to wonder, but I go at the newborn screening. That's part of newborn screening, you know, and getting the your DNA. Yeah. But so I morphed into that, mentioning why people want an alternative, and they don't necessarily want to have a chest X-ray. You know, we have enough radiation, right? So the only one that they've approved is a QuantiFERON. Gold standard, you know, TB test that was developed in Australia, and it's a blood draw. Mm. So there you get your, you know, and that's how they get it, you know, through your blood, because your blood has unique, you know, your genetic markers. So, and it's really sad because we used to advertise this BioMeridian machine, and there's these different energetic machines, just like the one you use for your patients, Renee. Mm-hmm. So you have a, what's it called? The machine that you use?
Quantum Skio.
The Quantum Skio. Mm-hmm. Well, with a Quantum Skio, you can detect tuberculosis, but you can also, there's other machines that you can also use to detect tuberculosis, because everything has a unique frequency. Right. Every organ in your body, every mineral, everything has a very unique frequency. And so these machines work on detecting specific frequencies. And tuberculosis, the bacilli for tuberculosis, does have a specific frequency. Yep. So these, you know, if you have a bunch of, you know, these tuberculosis bacilli, you know, proliferating in your system, because we all have some. I mean, I probably have a tuberculosis bacilli in my body, but I don't have it proliferating, and you know, a machine would detect that. So we used to tell people to do that, you know, and do an energetic scan. But nope, the CDC, they will not approve an energetic scan. It has to be something invasive. Mm-hmm. They are so all about invasive and toxic tests.
Mm-hmm. It just keeps us going back to the doctors, more radiation, more, and it's big business to them. We know that. And I'm trying to get that in the misinformed masses world here, that it's all about, you know, the love of money. The root of all evil, of course, is keeping us on the drugs, keeping us on the vaccinations, keeping us, you know, doing everything the drug companies train the medical doctors to do. And, you know, that's really the biggest misconception I had in most, you know, misinformed parents, is that, you know, we give these medical doctors this trust, this blind trust, you know, because they sound smart. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk this fancy language, right. They sound smart, and they use fear, the enemy's tool, to get us to move instead of power, love, and sound mind. So it's such a satanic thing. It's just amazing how, you know, how ignorant or how misinformed I was, and how awakened I am now.
Of course. You know, that's what, you know, this is what led you to be such a light in the world right now, you know, sharing, you know, Yahweh's love for us, and that he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be sound. He wants us to be whole. And you followed your heart and warned others and brought the Lord into their life. And that's really, really important, that people, you know, move away from fear and trust in their Creator's plan for them. Okay. But I was reading last night, you know, we're on a forum together, you and I, and I like to scan it periodically, and this gal posted a story that was on Twitter about a HPV vaccine reaction. And, you know, it still really shocks me how parents just trust their pediatrician, because they don't question, you know, anything about HPV. I mean, cervical cancer, this is a boy. Why is a young boy getting a vaccine for cervical cancer? And, the, you know, this the husband was smart. I mean, the father, I'm sorry. The father was smart. He was a physicist. I mean, you have to be pretty smart to be a physicist, right?
Right.
But he just did whatever the pediatrician said. And so here his son was, loved tennis, you know, played since he was 3 years old. They homeschool, and they're in Florida. And so the father put together a website. You can read his story, and he's going to start populating it with more information about HPV. But it's a pretty nice website, HPV-vaccine-side-effects. Yeah, so it's basically .com. So it's just HPV vaccine side effects, all with hyphens in between the words, .com. And I mean, it's just so sad. I mean, he has right on the homepage what the CDC said to him when he reported what happened. They said to him, "Thank you for contacting the CDC regarding severe adverse events following HPV vaccine and for sharing the article about your son. We are very sorry to hear of your son's symptoms and wish him a complete recovery." Mm-hmm. But then they say the symptoms that you describe in your son are not typical for the HPV vaccine. Oh my gosh, they are typical. So he finally started, the more he started digging, the more he found himself networked with countless other mothers of athletes that are totally disabled from the HPV vaccine.
Unbelievable.
I mean, we're talking, you know, these are promising, you know, ballerinas, you know, promising, you know, gymnastic stars. I mean, this kid of his lived for tennis. I mean, he started batting a tennis ball when he was 3 years old. That's how passionate this kid is. And so to read his story of how dogged he is to play tennis, even in the face of excruciating pain and his legs not working. I mean, the whole story is just tragic.
That is.
But yeah, HPVvaccinesideeffects.com, put together by his father. And there's all kinds of great comments, and it really opened up his eyes. He's totally one of us now. But what I guess that it's such a tragedy that someone would wake up, you know, it took that. And he nearly gave him a third HPV, and then he started, something clicked in him, and he realized that all the symptoms in his son started with the first two. Every time he had one, he had these certain symptoms. So it triggered something in him to stop it. And so we never did get the third.
Wow.
But he did get a hepatitis A vaccine, you know, made with aborted fetal cell lines.
Wow.
So really, really sad.
Yep, it is. It is what they're getting away with. Unbelievable. We do have a Gardasil link on our Educate page of all the babies that have been injured, because this has been going on for a while. I mean, it's crazy how many girls have just literally dropped dead. I mean, I remember years ago all the stories of, you know, teenage girls that just literally dropped dead. I mean, they even told the pediatrician, even told the mothers to expect their daughter to pass out for 15 minutes after the shot, and expected the mothers to agree with it. And I mean, that was that's just devastating to me. I can't imagine a doctor telling me, expect your daughter to pass out after the shot. And they accept it, and they still allow them to give it to them. That's just mind-blowing to me.
I know. What blows me away is that even years ago, they would say, you could expect high-pitched screaming. All these things are normal reactions. Don't worry. It's normal. This is when they do the high-pitched screaming like that, that's showing that it's causing encephalitis in their brain. It's immediately causing this intense inflammation in their brain. And this is the whole, and then they give them antibiotics. A lot of times they're giving these children the antibiotics, and that increases the damage. So there's actually a really good article about what these antibiotics do to the gut microbiome. And if the child has had antibiotics prior to a slew of vaccines, it totally makes it much worse.
That's right.
And so the vaccination.
The actual word antibio, against
life. I mean, they're telling you they're working against the child's immune system. And I just want to throw in a plug real fast of something I haven't told you either, I don't think. But when my baby girl was, when Casey, my first child, before she was injured, before I realized she was injured by the vaccinations, I remember she was weeks old and we had a little one-bedroom apartment at the time. And I had her crib set up in the atrium, so it was attached to the living room and the kitchen, and it was just a little area that her crib was there, and I had my bedroom with a glass door, I believe. But I remember her screaming one night or a couple nights so bad, it was like a sharp scream like you're describing. And I remember literally talking to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician told me, she's just spoiled, let her scream. And do you know, I slept the next couple nights with a pillow around my head to not hear her screams.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. What they do, the brainwashing, is just so sad.
It's unbelievable.
To think that, you know, yeah.
It's just unbelievable how victimized
this is,
We're so victimized, and I just pray that more people wake up, because they're getting more aggressive on pushing this poison into us. And, you know, it just has to be, we have to get this, you know, the information to the misinformed parents like I used to be. And, you know, I now I'm doing a presentation I want to go over with you a little bit when you're ready, of what I've turned my presentation that you've seen in honor of Casey. Since my husband, Gary Tunsky, passed away, I am now including a bunch of his quotes to my message, even to a point where Thursday night I'm doing my first round of the new design, should I say, which is going to be merging both his What in the Cell is Going On message with my Educate Before You Vaccinate message.
Wonderful.
Which I called
wonderful.
I called it the appetizer, my message, and the meal, his message, when we did it together. But now that he's not here, I'm having to do it for him. But just so you know, the animated cell is what I'm going to start it off with, by Dr. Stephen Myers. It's a beautiful animation of the inner workings of a cell. So I'm going to start it off with that, and literally after they see that, the intricate, you know, walking of cells and the intricate parts of a cell and how it all works so miraculously, wonderfully made we are by our Creator. And then you throw a wrench like a vaccine in there and what happens? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I started off with that and then go into the vaccine presentation that I normally do. But you're going to get a kick out of these quotes I've added on my presentation. But we're running a little bit. I only have about another 10 minutes, and I want to cover these couple slides because you're going to really enjoy it that I've added just off the top of my head.
Yeah, if you don't mind, send it to me an email if you can, the PowerPoint.
No, I can do that. I can do that. I'm still working on it because it's Thursday night, but I want to perfect it. The first thing I do after I show, if you remember, the decline in diseases of pertussis and polio and all that because of better sanitation and nutrition. Now, after that slide, I go into the biggest misconception, and that's Louis Pasteur's germ theory versus Antoine Bichamp's cellular terrain. Now, mind you, it's coming from a victim. So to me, what I'm seeing after two other presentations I did recently in Washington and Oregon area, I'm seeing that it's more acceptable coming from a righteously angered mother. Do you know what I'm saying? A victim.
Right.
You know, because I even had someone come to me, a doctor come to me, a medical doctor who saw my husband's presentation prior to mine one time, tell me, you know, your husband really offended me. And I'm like, well, wait till you hear mine. You know, and he came and saw mine, and then he walked over to me and said, we don't know this information. He had a tear coming down his face and literally said to me, we don't know this information. So my point is they're just lost. They're not taught. They're taught cytology opposed to the cytopathy, which is the parts list of the cell opposed to the inner workings of the cell, you know. And then the next slide I have on there is they're taught to snip the wire to your blinking oil light versus putting oil in your engine that you and I teach people how to do.
Right.
And then the next slide, you're going to like this one. Symptoms, how can they cause themselves? Hypertension, hyper meaning high, tension meaning pressure. So basically they're telling us that hypertension causes hypertension or high blood pressure causes high blood pressure. They're just describing the symptoms. You know, fibromyalgia, pain in the muscle fibers, fibers, Maya's muscle, Gia's pain. They're describing the symptom. Osteoporosis, arthritis, right. Inflammation. I mean, it's so simple when you open your eyes and just think, literally just think, you know?
Well, it's all symptoms, but they're not dealing with the cause. So all the disease names are just the symptoms of something exactly. That can be corrected, you know, at the cellular level. And, you know, I see it all the time. It's yeah. Not rocket science to correct it's someone's not. Health, but, not. You know, you have to have a willing patient for sure.
That's right.
You know, and I want to bring up, do you know about this website, vaccinepapers.org? You're going to want to have some of their brochures. They're excellent. And it shows what vaccines are doing to the brain and nervous system and through the adjuvants. It really focuses a lot on aluminum, but there's that's primarily a thing. Because what they did is when they allegedly took out the mercury, mm-hmm. they made it more toxic by putting bunches of aluminum in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it was, Marcella Piper Terry, or Terry, Marcella Terry Piper, is that what it is? I'm seeing, mm-hmm. I think I did it backwards. Anyway, she's in Indiana, and she was just talking on a show just about combining the HPV with the DTaP, which mm-hmm. apparently they're actually doing. And they get close to a whole milligram of aluminum, not ingested, injected mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. nearly a whole milligram. Mm-hmm. You know, she was adding it up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a huge amount of a metal that certainly doesn't belong in your circulatory system and going right to your brain.
Oh, my gosh.
So no wonder these people are, you know, having an adverse reaction. But then what she described, which we know from Blaylock, is any of these toxins like aluminum and mercury and lead, you know, any heavy metal, and fluoride is also included in that, when they're combined, the toxicity is 100-fold. And mm-hmm. she cites some studies in rats, you know, where they had a rat study where they gave 100 rats a certain amount of lead, and one of the rats died. And then they gave another 100 rats a certain amount of mercury, and then they died. Anyway, oh my gosh!
I know.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
No, that's okay. And combination too. The combination, like you said, of not just the aluminum, which is a no brainer, but mercury. I mean, it's like they used to call poison control when you broke a thermometer, and now they're getting it into a newborn baby, and then the formaldehyde and the aluminum and the E. coli Dr. Suzanne told me about in the pneumococcal vaccine.
Well, let me just finish. So basically, when they injected both of them mm-hmm. into the rats, all 100 of them died, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so it's literally 100-fold. But then, so we have so many other things in these vaccines. So they still use mercury or thimerosal mm-hmm. to make the brew less toxic. The virulence is less toxic. So they're still using it in the formula. So
that's insanity.
Anyway.
It's insanity what they're doing.
Yeah, hold on.
Go ahead. Now, let me just say some things while you're doing what you have to do. It's just crazy. They're just totally just railroading people that are just not educated. And this is why, you know, our information, both of our websites, as well as, which I'm not sure how long those are going to be around. But anyway, the presentations are so important because they can't stop us. They can't stop us physically from exposing truth. And that's, you know, that's kind of where my focus is right now, is going back to the basics of where I started after Casey passed away. I mean, I've really gotten away from the vaccine issue Father's shown me since Gary came into my life, and I started focusing more on the solution I mean, even though I still mention the vaccine issue being the number one, compounding toxin, of course, Gary taught compounding toxicities and compounding insufficiencies is the cause of every cellular malfunction. But obviously the number one cellular malfunction and the most detrimental one is the blood poisoning. And but people just don't know this stuff, Ingrid. And that's why, you know, we're not as blessed as you were, where your mother was Wallene James.
Well, and then my herbal teacher, John Christopher, taught me so much. I mean, his herbal lectures are just amazing. It goes right in order, you know, the colon health. And then the next one is the bloodstream, you know, just in priority, you know, because, you know, I'm seeing it all the time, you know, that if people had their, you know, digestive, their gut functioning, they wouldn't have this massive amount of congestion in their colon. They say that the gut is the key to your immune system. So if you start repairing the gut, you're going to repair a lot of other things in your body. And that also leads to the blood poisoning. You know, of course, the vaccines are your first big assault with blood poisoning. But, you know, today there are so many other sources. It's just horrible.
It is. Well, that's why the presentation, I'm really focusing on that again now, and I'm really upping it to include both the wisdom Father gave myself through my experience, as well as my husband, who was absolutely brilliant at about the cells, what in the cell is going on. The show's titled that. So I'm really, you know, perfecting it, and I'm just encouraging you or anybody for that matter that's listening to this show or even knows someone that's interested, you know, schedule a presentation. We do not charge a dime. This presentation is not about making money. The love of money, the root of all evil, is why my baby girl and my husband are not here anymore. So I will come in my wellness on wheels, my 45-foot RV, to you to do a presentation for free. You just get me the people, I'll come do the dirty work. To provide the facts that Ingrid's been teaching forever, and I've been teaching for 20-some years now.
And plus, as an adjunct, you can stay the next day or two and do scans of people's bodies and go ahead and recommend exactly what they need to recover. That's a big thing. Yeah, you want to go ahead and reverse the damage, and that can be done. It takes some diligence, but you can reverse much of this damage. And, you know, I'm actually taking some remedies from my friend Mary Bannon. I got for my birthday. She does homeoprophylaxis, but she does disease therapy too. And she wanted to know my entire vaccine history. And even though it's less than most people's, I told her in detail. She had some remedies made specifically for me for the vaccines that I had, so that I can get the cellular memory out of my body.
Wow.
Because, you know, if you go to an iridologist or anyone that reads your eyes, pretty intuitive with it, they can see the damage from the vaccines in the iris of the eye.
Wow. Well, it's definitely reversible. We see it reversed constantly at a cellular level. Cancer, ALS. I have a lady even in Canada that's had a breakthrough. She's bedridden on a tube with ALS, and she had a breakthrough on our cleanse. So definitely getting these poisons out are definitely the solution, and now we're covering the two, you know, both the cause and the reversal. I'm going to be leaning on your wisdom, Ingrid, if you don't mind, in these next couple of whatever, to really get this perfected to where we can help people get out of the mess they've gotten themselves in by allowing them to blindly, you know, be injected and just not being aware. So thank you for being there for me again today and just forever.
Well, thank
Ingrid.
You
I love you so much.
I will always be here. You know, you're the top listed show on our website. I actually said that we're like co-hosting the show, so I always told you to lean on me if you're too busy sometime, and I'll go ahead and host the show. But this show under events.
Yep, awesome. Thank you. And I will lean on you, because there's times that I don't have internet in this big old coach. There's some areas that don't have good Wi-Fi, so... My Verizon hotspot doesn't work so well. But anyway, any final words, baby, before I do the closeout?
Yeah, I do have final words. I think everyone needs to see the extent of the damage in this country by seeing Vax 2, The People's Truth. I hear that Renee's going to see it tonight. I'm seeing it Wednesday.
Yay!
And you can do a search for that. Go to Vaxed2, VAXXED2.com, and it'll lead you to go to Gaither and search for a showing in your city, and or go ahead and be a team captain and go ahead and sponsor a showing in your local theater. You can go ahead and sponsor a showing, but this is crowd-driven showings. So you have there's people all over the country that are wanting to see this film, and we have purchased in our place. We purchased 18 tickets for our local legislators, and it looks like 8 have been confirmed and are going.
Oh wow! So awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you again. We'll have you on soon, or you'll be hosting the show soon. So thank you, thank you. Love you, love you.
Okay. You are listening to bless you, sweetie.
Yes, yes. You are listening to Vic Fellowship, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. On the belly of the little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. If you have any questions about today's show, please call the voicemail line 862-800-6805 and leave your name, your question, and let them know. It's for our What in the Cell is Going On radio show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth, and y'all bless.